everyone. Welcome back for another episode of Where's That Tiger Podcast. I'm your host, Leanne Westfall. We're back with Justin Vincent and special guest, Gretchen Scheer, a former women's diver and now just sports business professional, president of the Houston Rockets. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's fun to be back.
So
looks different.
A few things different.
A whole lot different.
We like to kind of start it off with your story and how you got to LSU. So tell us a little bit about your story to LSU.
Yeah, so I was a gymnast growing up. I grew up outside of Houston, and I always wanted to come to LSU and be a gymnast. And then my freshman year, I decided that was not a sport I wanted to do anymore. And I transitioned into diving my sophomore year in college. So summer before my sophomore year. So I was I started late, but the transition, I knew how to flip, I knew how to twist, right. So that happened pretty quickly. So I didn't really start getting recruited until the back half of my senior year, which now that I have kids in high school and I'm realizing that process, how crazy
it really
that
is.
Was of how late. So I looked at the two schools that recruited me the most were Alabama and LSU.
No.
I should not say this aloud, but like I did have a good time at my recruiting trip at Alabama. But I loved the coach at LSU. And so I ended up coming to LSU as a 10-meter platform diver is what I was recruited to. And that's sort of my scholarship. But when you get here, you sort of have to do everything. So I also did 1 meter and 3 meter springboard here as well.
Okay. So you grew up in Houston, but you have Louisiana ties.
I do.
Right?
Yeah.
So I can relate. I call myself a Texas Tiger turned Louisianian now. I know. You hate it. Justin, the true Louisiana born and raised. But we can call Texas and Louisiana have a special relationship.
Oh, they're
close.
We can
call them
they're
both
close.
Home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that and your connection to Louisiana and your family and how it's as much a home as Houston maybe.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So I was born in Houma.
Okay.
But both of my parents are from White Castle.
Mm.
See, there you go. It's a very small side, very small town on the other side of the river between Plaquemine and Donsonville. And my mom has a big family. She's one of eight. My dad is one of four, but his dad is one of 13. And like everybody is
true
still
Louisiana
in, they're all
family.
Still in White Castle. Some of them are in Plaquemine. A couple have made it, you know, have moved to Baton Rouge, but everybody is really still here. So all of my aunts and uncles and my cousins. So we came in early yesterday, went to the game, stayed at my family's house in White Castle. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So what was the transition like when you graduated? Like how did you become a sports professional? Like what led down that path?
So I took what do they call it here? At A&M they call it Maymaster, but you know, we had those short classes in the summer could take.
Just a summer.
Of course. It was like, but it was every day. It was like 3 weeks.
Yes.
And it was it was the back half of the summer. I remember Ryan Clark was in my class.
That's awesome.
And it was a live event marketing class.
Okay.
And we threw a pep, football was not good in the first part of my tenure while I was here at LSU. And we threw a pep rally for the football team at the varsity. And I was like, you can throw parties at a bar for a class and as a career. So Jenny Peters was, it was a marketing class. I did not major in sports management. I just had a regular business degree. And she said, aren't you an athlete? And I said, yeah. She said, you know, you could do this for a living. Like there's careers in sports. And the resources of helping student athletes get job and prepare is much better than it was, you know, 25 years ago when I was here. And so I mailed out resumes. I faxed resumes to people. Like that's how long ago it was.
Oh, wow.
Of any address that I could find for like a sports team saying,
okay,
like I've never worked. I was a college athlete. I think this would be a good job. And I got a job in minor league indoor soccer in Houston.
Nice.
And they lasted about a year and then they folded. Shocking. It was not,
oh, wow.
It was not super popular. And then I moved to Portland, Oregon to take a job in ticket sales.
Okay.
And then not long after that, the Rockets were hiring in ticket sales. And that's how I started.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. That is, Damn. So what year was that? So you were
2000. I graduated in 2000. Yeah. And then I started working. I graduated on Saturday and I started at that soccer team on Monday. And then by the end of the calendar year, they had folded. So I lost my first job. And then I moved to Portland in the beginning of 2001. And then I started with the Rockets the summer of 2001.
Oh, a little over 20 years?
Yeah. So 20, it'll be 23 years.
Oh, wow.
This summer at the Rockets. Yeah. So that's I've had awesome. Every job imaginable there.
Oh, sure. Chicken shells, the whole nine. I mean, you just kind of climb the ladder. Yeah.
That's well, awesome. So, you know, talking about climbing the ladder, it's kind of similar. And I was also going to ask you, like, some transferable skills maybe from when you were a diver and a student athlete and how you use those in the professional field today. But also climbing the ladder is similar to, like, our student athletes in the grind and how some of them, they don't start as the best on the team, you know, and how they kind of grind their way to the top as an athlete. So how does that kind of relate nowadays in your professional life?
Yeah, I mean, as I was growing my career, I really didn't think about it that much, right?
Yeah.
Like I had, I just came in, tried to do the best job I possibly could mm-hmm. at whatever job I had mm-hmm. at the time. And I was just really, I was super competitive, shocking. I started in sales, right? And so that can be a competitive, not can be, generally is, right, a competitive environment. And so it was something that I was used to. It wasn't until later in my career when people asked me that question that I sort of connected a couple things. So I was a gymnast and then I was a diver. So your team, when you're competing to make SEC championships, mm-hmm. to make NCAAs, sometimes your biggest competition is actually your teammate. So it's not the same as like being on the same team and you might be competing for minutes, but at the end of the day, everybody wins together, everybody loses together. When you're in an individual sport, particularly in sports like diving where they're pretty small, where you might only have three or four people on your team, and then you go to SECs and some of your biggest competition to final or to medal is actually your teammate. It's this, like it's this dynamic of competing against your teammate and your best friend and then being able to turn it on and turn it off and not having it impact your day-to-day training. And when I got into the business world, I realized that's a lot like office politics.
Absolutely,
where,
yeah.
you know, people are competing against jobs or for attention or for the ability to give the presentation. And you have to balance when it's time to be competitive and when it's time to be a teammate. And I think that skill and being around that my entire life from being a gymnast and then a diver was something that I learned where you can authentically be a very good teammate and very good friends, but also be extremely competitive at the same time with the same people. And I think that's a hard thing to balance in the career world. So ironically, that has turned out to be a skill set that I think has proven valuable for me.
I think that's why like a lot of companies seek out former student athletes. I mean, just because of the leadership and the teamwork part they bring to a company. You know, when I was here, we had our jobbers program. And those, I mean, we have some guys that I play football with here who still work for the same company today that had jobbers programs with. Just because of their leadership skills, knowing how to be on time, being accountable, and all those different things. And I think companies, they seek out that. You may not have an abundance of that, but they would like to have at least the grassroots being people who know how to work well with others and compliment each other.
Check out BRQ Seafood and Barbecue, the official catering service of LSU Athletics, and your top pick for victorious celebrations and special occasions. Explore our daily specials and catering options, or reserve your table at www.brqrestaurant.com. Experience unforgettable moments at BRQ Seafood and Barbecue.
Yeah, and that know how to motivate, like, or self-driven, self-motivated.
Don't need a pat on the back all the time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so. Understand what it is. If you have to give harsh, quick feedback.
Yeah.
You're used to it, right?
You can take it.
Coachable. Yeah.
You've taken those a bit. I played for Nick. So yeah, I know.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Do you often find yourself seeking out former athletes to hire, or if it happens, it's a yay, it's a win? But
yeah, I mean, when I was earlier in my career and earlier in my management tenure, when I was hiring, let's call them more junior.
Right.
folks to get their start in more entry-level roles. Mm-hmm. That was certainly a huge thing that I looked for. I wouldn't say that I would, like, if you weren't a student-athlete, I did not look at it, but it definitely was a benefit. Anytime you can relate personally and have an authentic connection with someone, and sometimes it's easier to relate to that. But you also knew that typically are harder, like, they know what hard work looks like. When I mentor or talk to young athletes all the time, and they're concerned that they don't have a resume, right? And I was like, no, you have a full-time job, right? Like it's twice a day, and you have school, and you have all of that. And so it's really trying to figure out how to articulate how that's going to translate into the workforce. And now that I'm in the role that I'm in, I don't do, you know, I have my senior leadership team. Hopefully that doesn't turn over too much. So I'm not hiring on a day-to-day basis as much as I used to when I was hiring 20, 30, you know, younger folks trying to get their start in a career, looking at seasonal roles for the team, for the arena.
Definitely. You talked about some of those, like, authentic relationships that you've formed with your teammates and while you were here. Tell us some stories, your favorite memories, or some teammates you're still.
I don't think they were like right. I'm like, the Nat doors used to open very easily late at night, so I think they fixed that
in response to y'all
problem or opportunity. That was really fun. But
do you have a lot of your teammates you still connect with?
So my college roommate lives in New Orleans now, and she drove up last night, and we had dinner. We have we have a text chain, like, of the divers that were here when I was here. That is a lot. I don't see, you know, there's a bunch of folks in Houston. That I see a good amount. I was close with a lot of them when I was in school. The timing, like, a lot of the field athletes, right? That's similar training, right? Like, so for a diver, you would start your competition at 8 in the morning, but if there were 45 divers and you're doing 11 rounds of dives, right, that could be a 4 or 5 hour competition. So, you know, having to be in a mindset and do a dive, stay cold for 30 minutes, do another dive, and that was pretty similar to some of the field athletes. And so a bunch of them are in Houston that we still stay in touch with, but life gets in the way sometimes. And I try to come back. This year I came back for the swimming and diving alumni weekend, but it's, you know, the football season is also preseason going into basketball, and so it's always busy. And so it's hard to, like, carve out that time. And then every time I do it, I'm like, I really need to make it a point to do it every year, because it's just so fun and so special and such a cool time in life. And you always pick up right back where you left off. Which is really fun.
When you get back in town, is there somewhere you have to go eat or you have to go see?
I just took Jordan today. So, like, you know, Canes is everywhere, right? But when I was here, it was just the one Canes. And so I was like, you have to see the original. You have to see the original Canes. I didn't get to Chimes this time just because of the timing. But that's always there. I had to go to Louis for breakfast.
Okay.
It's moved now.
It's the old Wendy's now, but it's the
food still the same.
It's not right across from State Street anymore, right?
Yeah, it's in the corner right there where the old Wendy's used to be, but it tastes just as good.
Yeah. No, but it's fun. Like Brandon Landry, you know, he was here when I was here. He's actually from White Castle, so my cousins were friends with Brandon. So, like, when I was in middle school and would go to visit my family, and then we ended up at LSU together, and walk-ons is everywhere, so that's fun.
Yeah.
You can't escape the Tigers. We're everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Like, it's an abundance. And you talk about, like, being in text chains, like, all my teammates, we're about 30 deep in a text chain right now. And the only reason we're like that, which is sad, is because we had our 20-year national championship reunion. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't still be talking. But
yeah.
Every day, somebody saying something silly.
That was a fun memory. Yeah. New Orleans 2003. Well, four. It was four, right? It was the 2003-2004 season. That was a very fun memory.
Yeah, so that weekend was pretty crazy. And just the text messages you get randomly from, like, Terrell McGill or Michael Clayton preaching to us. We were like, oh, my God.
It was pretty cool seeing y'all all together again. And just, like, swim and dive alumni. All these alumni weekends, I love when everybody's
back together.
The
memories, you start talking about silly stories, and that's the part that you miss the most, right? Yeah. Like, obviously, the competition was whatever. Like, your diving events and then football games itself. But when you talk about just those relationships you had, sitting in the quad, going to the union and messing around late night bowling or whatever it was, which was awesome. They don't have that anymore, which is really cool. But those type of memories like that, those things that they'll never erase your brain. Like, they're burned on there forever.
No, like, I was driving her around, my daughter, driving her around campus, and there's a lot of new buildings, and there's, yep. But you know, you just immediately know where your you way. Are, right? Which is,
yeah, that's awesome. I like that.
Talking about Tigers being everywhere, Tari Eason
yes.
at the Rockets. You get to see him? Do you get to connect with
him? I do. He actually, it's public news now, but he actually had a leg injury, so he's in surgery right now. Yeah. But yeah, I see him. I mean, I see him all the time. We obviously work with him and at appearances and do help with marketing stuff. But yeah, so every time I see him, he's like, go Tigers.
Yes.
And Jabari Smith Jr. played at Auburn.
Okay.
But Jabari Smith Sr. was here when I was here. And what I remember, it may have been a coincidence or maybe it was there, but whenever we would have diving meets without the swim team, so just a diving meet or an invitational, it always was like at the same away school as a basketball game.
Okay.
It felt like at least three times a year the divers were traveling with the – not traveling with the basketball team, but we would like share a bus to the airport and we would share a bus right. to the school. And so I remember sitting on the bus next to Jabari Sr. And then, you know, last year we drafted his son. And I was like, oh, am I that old? So, yeah. So Jabari, yeah, so he moved to Houston. So he's there all the time. So that's fun.
Nice.
That's awesome.
As a former athlete, do you just connect a little bit more with the players?
Are you I don't able know. To I mean, it's... Being a diver at LSU,
right? It's a little different.
It's very different than their background and now being in the NBA. And now I'm like 25 years removed. So unless someone told you I was a college athlete, I don't think anyone's like, she was clearly an athlete. So, yeah. Not in the shape that I used to be.
Yeah.
But the diving stuff, I mean, it's pretty rigorous. Like, I know I used to see the diving team when I was here, like, at the butt crack of dawn. Like, they were leaving the weight room and we were showing up at 7.
Yeah, no, it's early. I mean, it's a challenging sport because, one, like, it takes a significant amount of time to, like, warm up your body. Mm-hmm. So the swimmers used to give us a hard time because they were like, do you just sit in the hot tub? Like, is that – do you stretch and sit in the hot tub? I'm like, you want to go on the 10-meter and see what happens if you're not fully prepared. And so it's a lot of conditioning, it's a lot of core work, it's a lot of ab work, and then it's a slower practice, right? You have to do a dive, you have to wait for feedback, you have to climb back up the ladder, right? It's not, so it takes a long period of time.
That's why
we typically have two practices, right? Because to do it all at once is a lot.
Yeah, I typically catch myself watching that sometimes. I'm flipping through like SEC Network or something, and it pops up and I'm like, dude, that's high.
It's high. Yeah. We climbed up. High. We came back for the
alumni.
For the alumni in October, and we went over to the pool and we climbed up. And I was like, did I really used to do this?
And then transition.
I didn't jump off. I had to climb back down the ladder, which is scarier than jumping
100%.
Off.
So, what about the transition from gymnastics to that? Like. Because you're on the ground. Well, you're still flipping in the air, but
a lot of it's the same, right? Like, you spot, you twist. The conditioning is similar. You're just landing on your feet instead of your head, right? So you're spotting, and your timing is a little bit different.
So it wasn't like an initial fear when you got up there the first time.
You know, they hold it off for a while because I think if they took you straight up there, nobody would ever do it. So you know, you start training on 1 meter, and then. You know, then you'll be good enough to go up to 3 meter and start training on 3 meter. And springboard's very different. It's a very, very different event than platform. And then eventually you go to the 5 meter and you start doing some dives, and then they'll say, take it up, and you add a flip or add a twist, and you go up to 10 meter.
So. I don't even want to jump off a regular diving board.
Well, you can't. Like, it's not a sport. It's not really a sport that you can just do for fun. Yeah. It's not like on the weekend. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go. It's not like golf or tennis or whatever.
But
so
those are the ones you truly
really,
admire, too.
I don't do it anymore at all.
So. It's like, I could never do it. So it's impressive.
I still have a good party trick. I can still flip off of a boat when you're like,
when
you're at the lake or at the beach or something. And I can still do that, but that's about it.
So. Are there some mentors? We tell our current student athletes all the time, like, take advantage of your resources you have here at LSU. So are there some mentors you like to see when you come back, or ones that change your time at LSU.
Yeah, I wish I had. I mean, that's why, like, I was telling Verge, and whenever I talk to you, I'm like, please force me and help me to get more involved. So one, like, I think, you know, the academic, when I was here, right, the Academic Center for Athletes had just opened like the year before. There was a couple programs, you know, their life wasn't digital, and so that was a little bit, there wasn't, unless you were back here, it was pretty hard to connect folks. So, you know, I don't have a ton of sort of LSU mentor connections from my time from here. And then now that I'm at a state, my kids are older, I'm, you know, more established in my career, it's like, I wish I would have done it sooner. But now I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, can I be that person for more people than what I feel like I had?
Yeah, I mean, as insignificant as it seems, I think, you know, being older, you think about like, ah, nobody want to listen to you talk. But like a lot of these young student athletes buy into this. Yeah. Like, they want different experiences, right? They want to talk to you because you were a swimmer. They want to talk to me because I was football. They want to talk to somebody like Michael Bonnet, who's a sports admin. Like, those things, like, I think sometimes, like, we kind of let them fall by the wayside. But, like, getting back and, like, and catching them one-on-one and having those intimate conversations, and they'll open up to you. Because, I mean, some of them want to do other things in life other than what they
currently are. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the fraction of opportunity to continue,
slim to none.
Especially for women, right? Like the opportunities that exist after are tough. Like, your opportunity is going to be, what are you going to do in this next chapter of your life?
If NIL was here, then you never know.
You what?
Yeah. I said, if NIL was here, then you never know.
Yeah. Different
it
time.
It was definitely not here when I was here. So I got my stipend money and my Broussard access, and that was about it. So.
Broussard. Oof.
Is that still open? I mean, it's still a dorm, remodeled. Right?
It's like you walk in there, it's not Broussard. Right. It is nice. Yeah, super nice. Yeah.
We'll stop by there next.
My dorm was torn down. It no longer exists.
I watched it blow up.
Yeah. I wish I would have watched it blow up. That was an old dorm.
We watched it live. Yeah. We all came in the stadium and went up top and just watched it. Right. It was pretty cool. Yeah. It was time.
Is the pool next?
So. We hope.
Don't blow it up. Don't blow it up until you've built a new one, please.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, because it definitely needs to be redone and something new. You know, we just about done everything on campus. You know, it kind of, I don't want to say it falls on my shoulders. It falls on my office shoulders.
Yeah.
I work at TAF.
Well, let us know.
Come on, Justin.
Yeah. Let us know how to help with that. Yeah. So there are a lot of swimmers and divers that are
day-to-day job.
That are prepared
that.
Ready. Right, exactly.
Rally the troops.
Yeah, this is an all call, former swimmer and divers. Yeah. So we like to kind of wrap it up with what's maybe next, whether that's professionally, personally, anything we can look forward to maybe seeing you doing next.
Yeah, I mean, I love my job. I've been, you know, I never thought I would be where I am now. I just got a job selling tickets to get my foot in the door, and then I was going to figure out what's next. And now I run the team, and we have an arena at Toyota Center. So, like, every time when I walked here, I'm peeking in all the doors and looking at all the clubs. We have our arena is about 20 years old, so we've got some exciting stuff happening at Toyota Center over the next couple of years. So it's been fun. Our basketball team is getting back on track, so it's an exciting time professionally for me. And then, you know, my kids are sophomores, so in the next year or so, they'll have to start thinking about colleges.
Let's brainwash now.
Yeah, exactly. they are both LSU fans. Right. Like, that is for
sure.
Okay,
good.
Whether or not my daughter plays basketball and wants to play at school somewhere, and it's, I love her. And she's got a good talent, but I don't think it's the I don't think the LSU women's basketball team is, I don't think she's quite there, but yeah. And my son, I don't know where my son's gonna go. Yeah. Like, I think he wants to go to a big school, but I don't know if he'll go to LSU. I know that he's not gonna go if he doesn't go to LSU. He has said that he has no interest in going to any other school in the region because then it will mess up his LSU fandom. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't end up here, I think he's gonna go somewhere far away where he does not have to. Neither of them have to give up their LSU fandom.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, Justin and I sure will be watching along. We can't wait to see what's next for you and your family. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Definitely.
See you next time on Where's That Tiger Podcast.